Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you live and in person on this Wednesday, July the 28th. 2021, 16 and a half minutes past the hour here in Marion. And we're sorry to greet you with some grim news this morning in regard to COVID-19. If you look at the paper today, you will know what we know or check online, and that is that in Marion County, where we all live, COVID cases have tripled in the last 2 weeks. COVID cases in Marion County have tripled in the last 2 weeks. In the wake of that, we have a guest on this morning who I've wanted to have on, and I'm sure this impacts him and everybody he's responsible for and his entire staff. And a whole bunch of news this week has come out regarding schools, which we are going to address this morning. I'm so glad to be joined by the superintendent of the Marion City Schools, Dr. Ron Arusi. Dr. Arusi, not good news this morning when it comes to COVID-19.
Yeah, unfortunately, we don't have some good news, but fortunately for us, we've been there before. So, you know, we've gone through this now for almost a year and a half. Well, but let me start by saying thanks for having me on, too, Scott. It's good, always good to talk to you, and I appreciate the time and the devotion that you have to the community on issues like this. And you and your radio station have always been very supportive of our schools here in Marion County, so I appreciate that. But again, you know, back to COVID, certainly what we've learned over the last year and a half is that, you know, we need to be really flexible, we need to be prepared, and we need to be able to adjust on the fly. Unfortunately, 2 weeks ago, you know, we probably were, you know, planning to open up school on August 16th, which is our first day for some of our transition students. You know, and so we've prepared all along to open up school again, you know, with the idea we knew we were going to have some protocols in place still with hand washing and sanitizing and, you know, distancing and things like that. But, you know, obviously with this Delta variant and many of our unvaccinated population, you know, spread is definitely on the rise again, and we will be prepared accordingly to handle that.
Dr. Arusi, and it's always good to have you on, and I thank you for coming on and answering these questions as well. But, you know, the reason I think this is maybe more grim, the term, than it has been before is what you just said. We have a vaccine now, and in the state of Ohio, we're still below 50%. Marion County, we're even lower than that. So when we see a number like this, that in just a two-week time, the cases have tripled, there may have been a way to prevent this. Am I on the right track here?
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, it's always been the school district's stance that, you know, we were fortunate to be in, you know, one of the initial rounds or groups of folks that were eligible for the vaccine, knowing that, you know, it was really important for especially our staff members because we're in some closed environments and, you know, the potential for spread is greater in that environment. So, you know, we were fortunate to be able to offer the vaccine to our staff members. I'm not sure exactly what the number is of the percentage of, I think we're above 50% here, definitely in Marion City Schools with our staff members receiving the vaccine, and that's a really positive thing. And so, you know, some of our most vulnerable staff members have been vaccinated, and so that's a good thing for us. But I think, you know, we need to continue to encourage our families at home and our children who are eligible to get the vaccine because, you know, the whole goal behind this is to keep students back in school 5 days a week. We know that it is important for them to be there. You know, we have learned from last year, you know, what the damage on learning and the learning potential was because of the non-traditional way we had to deliver our curriculum to our kids. So our goal is to get through this year and, you know, with whatever protocol is necessary, but we need to keep our kids in school 5 days a week. And to me, that's the ultimate important message that we need to send to our families, that if we get vaccinated, and the more people get vaccinated, the greater chance we have of, you know, avoiding mass spread of the virus in our community, and we can keep our kids in school 5 days a week.
Does the news this morning of the tripling of COVID cases here in Marion County in the last 2 weeks alter the idea of a five-day-a-week school plan at this point, just a couple weeks out from the start of school?
No, I mean, we've met all along, and we keep in contact with our health officials. You know, our school nurses here, Chris Sprinkle is our head nurse in the district, and she is in constant communication with the nurses and the health officials at Marion Public Health and beyond. We know that, you know, there is always potential for a rise in cases, especially as you learn more about the variants that are out there. Again, like I said, Scott, I mean, we've been through this before. You know, our plan moving forward is to bring our kids back and start school, and, you know, 5 days a week. We have all the protocols necessary, but if we're told that we need to make an adjustment, you know, all of our kids have Chromebooks now, and our teachers are more prepared to be able to deliver instruction electronically because of, what they've had to do over the past year and a half. So, I feel like our feeling is, you know, we're going to move forward. Hopefully, we don't see a continued increase in cases. I know that we're still just below 50 cases per 100,000 in the state of Ohio, and hopefully we can mitigate that spread and keep that around there. We know that, you know, that's kind of been the benchmark for us to, you know, relax some of our protocols and allow for different freedoms, if you will, in relation to COVID.
Dr. Arusi, were you surprised as the school year was winding down last year? It just maybe serendipitously coincided with Governor DeWine lifting a lot of the protocols that had been in place for nearly a year here in Ohio. And all of a sudden, the masks were gone. All of a sudden, people were close again. We were having events together. The restaurants were open. You could go to sporting events. You could do all these things, but our vaccination numbers never improved. Even with the big Vax-a-million that was going on at that time, they never improved at a great rate in Marion County or in the state of Ohio. And now it looks as if we are reaping the benefit of that, which is a tripling of cases in 2 weeks.
Well, yeah, and according to most of the information that I see that is put out from the CDC, you know, unfortunately, the amount of cases are primarily the people that are being affected by this, by the virus, are those that are unvaccinated. And so, I guess sometimes it takes, you know, that type of, hopefully, you know, our hospital increases, our hospital stays don't increase, the ER rates, you know, those kinds of things are continued to rise at a slower pace because most of our most vulnerable people, I mean, even though I think 50% of the people are vaccinated, I think some of our most vulnerable people have probably received the vaccine. So I think there's, you know, I don't think it's all bad. You know, I think that the transmission amongst younger people, especially with this Delta variant, is more prevalent, but the effects of COVID are much less on some of our younger population, which is the higher percentage of the unvaccinated. So I think there is some solace in that, you know, hopefully people won't be gravely affected by COVID at that point. But yeah, I guess, you know, I mean, it is what it is. There's certainly politics that are involved in some of the decisions that are being made. You know, I can tell you that in our conversations with the health departments that, you know, if it were up to the health officials right now, you know, they would still probably tend to be a lot more direct in some of their recommendations, which now, for the most part, are recommendations. There are no mandates except for one right now that we have in place that we have to follow.
Dr. Arusi, and this is the only political question I'll ask of you, but
Okay.
It is interesting that, you know, our governor, Governor DeWine, was applauded in the beginning of this about how he handled COVID, how quick he acted, and possibly saved a lot of lives. Then we saw the firing of Dr. Acton, or at least the removal or resignation, or however people want to put it. And then he's up for re-election next year. Now he's facing a primary challenge, and all of the sudden, the restrictions go away. And as you say, most medical people, if you talk to them in private, are still saying, stay vigilant. This might not have been the best idea. Do you think, in our case, Governor DeWine is making these decisions. Do you think he acted more on the political side in this case than,
on the political side, look, Scott, you know, for this, COVID has been, you know, obviously has had a direct effect on my life because my mother passed away from it, you know, last spring, not this past spring, but early on in COVID. And so, you know, if you are involved in that and you see firsthand somebody go through the effects of COVID, it may give you a little different perspective on the situation. So, you know, I have always been, I've always applauded the governor for taking that leadership role, knowing the effects of what, you know, what that might have on people and, you know, the need for, you know, the support that people would need, you know, during the shutdown. But, you know, I believe we saved some lives during that time. And now, you know, we bought ourselves some time to flatten the curve and get the vaccine out. Unfortunately, it's become, you know, very political. It's obvious when you look at, you know, who's being vaccinated and who's not. And so that's unfortunate for him. But I can say this, Scott, you know, any leader of any large organization that serves the public has really come under fire a lot about the decisions that are made because of its political nature, you know. And the governor's probably taken the brunt of that because, you know, he in fact is one of the leaders in the state of Ohio. But I can tell you that, you know, superintendents and university presidents and anybody involved in, you know, those types of fields who've had to make decisions about their organization and knowing that, you know, there would be some negative effects in the decisions that were made, but trying to weigh, you know, what's in the public interest or what is in the organization's interest as a whole, but really drilling down to each individual and doing what we can to protect as many people as possible, you know, some of those decisions are certainly unpopular. And, you know, unfortunately for us, and I can tell you my frustration as a school superintendent right now is that, you know, our health officials really are not making, you know, the decisive decisions that they probably should be making because of the political nature. And so, you know, we have recommendations for our school district right now, and I know that there are people who read the CDC recommendations and they look at us to see if, you know, what we are going to do with those recommendations. And, you know, our take on it is now, you know, if somebody's not going to mandate some order, and I'm not a health official, then if it's a recommendation, then that as a leader of the organization is the direction I think that we're going to go as an organization in dealing with our, you know, our customers, which are our staff, our students, our families, and our staff. So, you know, those are recommendations that we will pass along and strongly recommend for our folks, you know, when it comes to mask wearing and hand washing and quarantining and you know, self-assessments and all those kinds of things. Those are recommendations. They're not mandates.
Well, it's interesting, and I wrote this down or printed this off so I can read it exactly, and this just came out yesterday, and we had Dr. Arusi booked before that, but here it is. I'm going to give you a version of this. Right. The U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention recommended on Tuesday that localities encourage all teachers, staff, students, and visitors in schools to wear masks indoors regardless of vaccination status. In areas with substantial and high transmission, CDC recommends fully vaccinated people wear masks in public indoor settings to help prevent the spread of the Delta variant and protect others, that includes school, CDC Director Dr. Rochelle Walensky told a media briefing on Tuesday. CDC recommends that everyone in K through 12 schools wear a mask indoors, including teachers, staff, students, and visitors, regardless of vaccination status. Children should return to full-time in-person learning in the fall with proper prevention strategies in place, she said. Finally, CDC recommends community leaders encourage vaccination and universal masking to prevent further outbreaks in areas of substantial and high transmission with the Delta variations. Vaccinating more Americans now is more urgent than ever. And that's just yesterday. What did you make of that, Dr. Arruci?
Well, you know, along with that, the Ohio Department of Education, along with the Ohio Department of Health, released recommendations for our school districts. And so, you know, again, I'll read you some of the executive summary for that. What is, you know, first of all, the goal is to keep students back in school in person 5 days a week. Students benefit from in-person learning. As students head back to school, the Department of Health recommends following the same layered prevention strategies that were remarkably effective at controlling COVID-19 last year. So obviously strong recommendations for vaccinations for staff and eligible students. When it comes to wearing masks, obviously masks have been proven to be effective. But again, you know, ODH strongly recommends those who are unvaccinated. This is what ODH says. They strongly recommend those who are unvaccinated wear masks while in school. So, you know, again, we have ODH saying, you know, that only unvaccinated people should be strongly recommended to wear masks, but vaccinated people, there's no mention of that in what their guidance is for schools. So, Scott, we get, you know, one of the things I've learned over the past year is there has been so much conflicting information that comes to us that, you know, we as school leaders just really want our health officials to tell us what to do. I'm sorry, but, you know, that's the way we feel at this point is that, you know, we're put in a situation, kind of put in the middle because, you know, for whatever reason, whether it's political or not, our health officials, and I understand their predicament. You know, I saw yesterday where there was legislation introduced in the Ohio General Assembly that would prohibit any school district from any mandate, that these would be completely the choice of our families on which protocols that they want to follow.
Well, Dr. Arruci, is one of the problems here, we talked about the political nature of this, and obviously putting something like that in legislation form obviously would be somewhat political, but I think health departments, and correct me if I'm wrong on this, I don't think a health department can mandate anything, and I think that's been one of the problems here. I guess they could mandate something, but if a governor or a legislature wanted to stop that, they could. And all along, all of our mandates have come from state governments. A health department never made a mandate. And maybe this is them just sounding the alarm now that the politicians have decided that mandates are not good, to say, listen, this is much of what you might want to do.
Yeah, I mean, I hear what you're saying, Scott, but I mean, even throughout the past year, I mean, when we had our weekly meetings with Marion Public Health, you know, there were times when, you know, we were looking at events to possibly hold for our students that we had to rely on Marion Public Health to come in, and they basically, there were times when they said, no, you can't do that, you know what I mean, more or less, and that, you know, there was actually an agreement with some of our local authorities to make sure that folks followed those. What I consider that's a mandate. You know, if the public health department comes in and says, sorry, you can't, you know, have this event, just like they would, you know, shut down a restaurant if they felt like it, you know, wasn't clean enough, that would be an order for them. So I think they did have some authority in making some of those decisions. But again, I think some of those orders were crafted at the state level by the Department of Health. And fortunately in Ohio, you know, our governor relied on that information and was receptive to the recommendations in the orders that the health department gave, like universal mask wearing.
And I think that's where we are right now. And I think it's very important for people to understand that. And absolutely, there were, I mean, you could not go into a restaurant and sit right next to somebody. You could not have a mass gathering. You couldn't get a permit to have a parade or do anything like that. But even though the local health departments were enforcing those and would have gone to local law enforcement, I think they were acting on the mandate that the governor had signed into place. Mm-hmm. And if the governor doesn't do that, what can they do?
Right. No, I mean, I agree with that, Scott. I think, you know, that's probably the ultimate person responsible. Now, obviously, the governor has some restrictions that the legislature has put on that position, on the executive position at the state level, that needs to be approved by the legislature. So, you know, that's kind of that's obviously the politics of the situation right now, as far as, you know, what limits that one person or the executive branch has to be able to do that. But again, you know, if at the state level, the representatives that are there make the decisions that, you know, there's a lot more personal choice in some of these COVID protocols, then, you know, I'm not sure that, you know, us or anybody else would be even be able to take a different stance on that and mandate, you know, some of those protocols for our fans.
When we look at the start of school, and this is the big question that everybody has, because for some reason masks have become the superior issue in this. Is there going to be any type of mask mandate in Marion City schools when they reopen?
The only mask mandate that we have right now is that, you know, that order is still in effect for public transportation. And so we know, you know, all of our students who do use our transportation, who ride the bus, will have to wear a mask on the bus, either to or from school, sporting events, field trips, those types of things. So while they are on the bus, they will be mandated to wear a mask. But otherwise, there is not a mask mandate in Marion City Schools for classrooms. So, and you know, unfortunately for us, Scott, we just went through, you know, 5 or 6 weeks of summer school without masks. We had over 600 students that were involved in that. And, you know, just as all last year and through summer school, and I think we're fortunate here in Marion City Schools, and probably because we do, you know, follow the protocols in place, we did wear masks. We did clean high-touch areas. We did sanitize. You know, we did try to space kids out whenever possible. We did not have one single case of internal transmission. So through contact tracing, if somebody was a confirmed case and we quarantined those that were in close contact, we never, not one time, had an individual that was contact traced that actually contracted the virus from another student in school here or staff member. And so I think that's a part of, you know, our decision-making process is, you know, there's a lot of research out there that says young kids really don't transmit the disease as much, you know, especially for those under 12. I mean, I think that's part of the reason why there is a vaccination for students that are 12 or kids that are 12 and older available, because there is somewhat more chance of spread. But even in our situation with our middle school and high school kids, we did not see one case of internal spread.
Will there be any rules or regulations or stipulations at sporting events? I would say the foremost being football in the fall.
Well, you know, ironically, that was part of a conversation I was involved with Central Ohio and some of the health departments in Franklin County and Columbus Public. You know, we're talking about mask mandates in schools and events such as, you know, football games or whatever, but I think, you know, probably the first game in the horseshoe, there's going to be over 100,000 people sitting about as close to each other as possible without any mask mandate. So, you know, it's hard to say to our folks, you take a look at that, and again, across, you know, look at the sporting events even this past spring as we started to open up. Again, people were at those events without masks. And, you know, I don't know that we can tie down any outbreaks to some of those events. So it'll be interesting to see this Delta variant and, you know, where is the spread occurring in what types of situations. Once again, is it a close family, you know, situation where family members in large gatherings and constant contact are transmitting the disease? Or, you know, is it a one-time thing where, you know, 10 people go to an event and they walk away with, you know, as a confirmed case? So, you know, those kinds of things I think will all play a part in, you know, some of the decision-making that will come from, you know, some of our officials.
You know, Dr. Arusi, if we follow the timeline of this, because we do have some perspective now, having been in a similar situation last summer, the mask mandate from the governor did not come until after the 4th of July holiday, which we are after this year, and it came because seemingly people were getting together and the cases took a spike, which, as we know this morning, they have taken a spike, not quite what it was last year, but it has spiked up with the tripling here in Marion County in the last 2 weeks, and I assume that's a similar rate in other counties from what I've looked at this morning in Ohio.
Right.
So knowing that, when we go back indoors is when we really had the problem last year, September, October, November, December, and even into January somewhat. This year, we've got no mask mandate, we've got no social distancing, and we are under 50% on the vaccinations, and I say even a little lower than the Ohio rate here in Marion County. And if you go to a grocery store, the grocery store still says, if you're not vaccinated, you have to wear a mask.
Yeah.
Find 10 people in a grocery store who have a mask on with the numbers we have. Is this going to be ultimately one of the big issues?
Well, I think it depends. I mean, if again, you know, the recommendation also is to monitor your community spread. And, you know, so what those numbers look like in Marion, I think will be play a part in our decisions. And I think even within our schools, you know, like I am very hopeful that we will continue to see, the type of results that we saw last year with, again, limiting the internal spread amongst our students and staff members. And again, you know, so I think we understand, too, that students probably are less vulnerable. We do have some students that have, you know, vulnerable medical conditions. We are still offering, you know, a blended learning option for those families. Last year, we had 1,200 students that took the full online option for us. This year, we have just over 100 that have opted for the blended learning model. So we do have that available for those students and families to be able to do that. But really, you know, back to your question, I think, again, you know, if we, right now, those cases are still below 50 per 100,000. I think when we get, I think there was a time last year around Christmas time when we were probably over 200 or pushing 300 cases per 100,000. And that was, you know, critical mass, if you will, at that point to have to make some of those decisions. If you recall, you know, we had been in a blended learning model most of the year last year until we got around the holidays, and we had to go remote for 2 weeks before the holidays and an extended week after the holidays as well. I feel like even in that time frame, we still didn't have an increase in the cases of our students or our families, but because the community spread was so prevalent at that time, we had to make that decision to do that. So, you know, I really see us, you know, having to have some of those conversations and deciding on those types of things based on what we're seeing in the community.
You know, Dr. Arusi, and I think maybe this is a big question because there are a couple other things I want to talk about, but this is the big issue of the day, obviously. Because I really don't, and I don't think other people think, that we're going to see a state mandate when it comes to COVID-19 unless things really get out of hand because of the politics of it. If the local health department, Tracy Kinsler and her group over there, who have been very vigilant all year round.
They've been great.
Absolutely. If they came and said, you know, we can't mandate anything, but we don't think it's a good idea for you to continue on as the biggest school district in Marion County, or any other school district for that matter, without masks. We don't think you should be in the classroom. The cases are growing, which we found out they are this morning. Would you take her advice? Not a mandate, but advice.
Yeah. No, I think we are, you know, we are taking that advice to pass along to our families. But again, you know, I really struggle with having to, if we're not seeing internal spread and, you know, we are the protocols that we have in place are mitigating the amount of spread that we have amongst our families, then it would be very difficult for us to mandate. Now, if we're seeing internal spread and, you know, a group of students are affected and we know that that's the case, absolutely. Again, we will do that. You know, that, and again, that's part of our message is to folks that we want to keep our kids in school 5 days a week. And the best way to do that is to go get the vaccine. It's obvious that that's, you know, the number one factor in reducing the spread is the vaccination, even beyond mask wearing at this point. So, you know, I think, again, that's a recommendation that we strongly recommend to our parents. We hope that, you know, the unvaccinated for sure will wear masks to school. But, you know, we don't have the authority or the ability to ask somebody if they've been vaccinated. And so, you know, we can't force anybody because we know they were vaccinated or weren't vaccinated. So, I mean, that's a long answer to if they make a recommendation to us, then we will pass that recommendation on to our families and strongly recommend that. But, you know, again, we're not making mandates that, you know, anyone else is not giving to us as a school district.
I was having a discussion with somebody the other day about this, and not necessarily relating to the COVID vaccination, but wasn't there a day, and I don't even know if this is still in place, but wasn't there a day at one point where you could not start school, Marion City being one of those, unless you had certain vaccinations?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's still the case. I mean, our students are required to be vaccinated in certain areas. I don't know what the list is, and actually we were just talking about that with our school nurse. There are requirements to that students have to have a certain vaccine, but I guess, Scott, hopefully when, you know, the FDA actually puts their stamp of approval on the vaccines and take off the emergency approval status, I'm hoping that has an effect on with some people. I've heard from different people, well, you know, this was rushed through, it wasn't given enough time to see if, you know, there's any long-term effects. I think now that we've had the vaccine coming on at least, you know, six, eight months, and the FDA does take that, you know, that label of emergency approval off there, I'm hoping that makes a difference for some people.
Let me just ask this, because I want to know some good things that are happening with Marion City School as we start the school year. But do you think there's any credence, because there was a lot of discussion about masks. Last year, people were masked when they went back to school. We had a mask mandate in place. Do you think the reason there was not internal spread in the schools was because people were wearing masks? Because obviously a school is a big congregating place. There also was social distancing in schools and in classrooms. This year, there won't be that.
Yeah. You're right. And we will. Yeah, there will not be a mask mandate to start school, which, you know, obviously increases the risk according to the science. We still have other protocols. You know, we're still cleaning high touch areas on a regular basis. We still are doing physical distancing whenever possible. And we still are monitoring symptoms, you know, those types of things. You know, we do have available to us now, we have over 1,000 rapid tests. So if somebody has, you know, is symptomatic, or even has somebody in their family is symptomatic, then we have the ability to give these tests. Now they're home tests where families would be responsible for that. So those are other strategies that we have in place to try to help mitigate that. So, yeah, I don't think there's any question that, you know, school districts were probably a model for the state because, you know, we were able to open up every day, but while we were open, you know, put some of those strategies in place. You know, the thing that really was difficult for us and had a profound effect on us is because we were in the hybrid model for most of the year, you know, our students only went to school 2 days a week, and they were responsible for some of their own learning the other 3 days a week. And that presented hardships on kids, hardships on families, hardships on teachers. And so, you know, that's a key component to us is our kids have to be in school 5 days a week. I would hope that parents would take, you know, those recommendations especially if their families aren't vaccinated, you know, they should send their kids to school with a mask on.
How does staff feel? because at this point, some of the staff is in the danger area.
Well, and, you know, fortunately, again, for us, our staff had the opportunity to receive the vaccine. I mean, we were part of that group that was a target group so that we could open schools. You know, we do have some staff members that have some vulnerable conditions, but we don't know who is vaccinated and who's not, and we don't ask that question. So, I mean, obviously there's concern among staff members about our kids and what the effect of some of those would be, you know, and I think that is rightfully so, that we should all be concerned about that. But I also know that our staff understands that our kids need to be in school. They have seen firsthand the effects of kids not being in school. And so, you know, there's that fine line again between, you know, what is more harmful? Is it, you know, the COVID symptoms that are more harmful to a student, or the lack of education and the socialization that those kids need on a regular basis?
You know, Dr. Arusi, teachers and staff and people of that nature who go in and out of school buildings do have to take certain medical tests that the school does ask about before they can start their position with a school district. That's not unique to Marion City Schools. Why has the COVID thing become so private? We don't ask. We don't talk about it. It's just what it is.
Yeah, that's a good question, Scott. I'm not sure I have the answer to that. I mean, you know, there's obviously, you know, privacy rules and things like that. There are, you know, HIPAA violations and FERPA violations and things like that. I think that, you know, people have relied on, and because it's probably more political, you hear a lot more about those rights and laws that are in place to protect people's privacy. So I just think it's just part of the nature. I also believe that, again, you know, the governor did, you know, they did actually pass legislation that said, you know, you cannot require someone to be vaccinated, especially until the FDA removes that emergency label.
One thing I want to talk about, because this has been something going around in the community, and for people who don't go to Marion City Schools or have a child there, I think they're curious about this. We've been asked this a few times here at the station. The lifting of pay-to-play for sports and school fees, where does that go with Marion City Schools this current year?
Yeah, we're fortunate. I think that, you know, again, Marion City Schools has received some money from the federal government in ESSER funds. That's the Elementary Secondary School Relief Fund. And we're able to use those funds to help our families with those types of fees. I think, you know, part of the intention of those funds is to get more kids back up to speed and engaged in school activities as much as possible. And so, you know, that may have been barriers for some of our families and our students. So this year, Marion City Schools is not asking any student to go out and buy school supplies. We have used those ESSER funds to buy those supplies. Typically, you know, what we do per building is we ask that we limit the ask on school supplies to $20 in school supplies per student. So we are just allocating $20 per student to each building, and we are buying those supplies en masse. We have also lifted the pay-to-play participation fees for any of our students to participate in extracurricular activities, again, to encourage more students to get involved in some of those activities, because we know that that helps with their social-emotional learning. And so the more socialization that we can get, we can provide for our students and take away barriers. Again, we're fortunate because we've received some funds to be able to do that.
Dr. Arusi, before we let you go here, because I think this needs to be mentioned, and I don't think we've spoken on air since this came down, earlier, I believe it was this year, you decided, and explain this to us, because of your retire contract, Marion City Schools will save $250,000, you know, that's $250,000, based upon your contract. That's a lot of money to turn down. How did that all happen?
Yeah, you know, thanks for asking that. It gives me an opportunity to answer this question publicly about that. I mean, I know that there's, you know, some sentiments out there about retire, rehire. This conversation all started after the board's evaluation of my performance here at Marion City Schools, and their intent was to make sure that, you know, some of the things that we have in place are sustained over the long haul. I was fortunate to be able to find out that I had actually 2 years of service built up in my retirement from when I was a student in high school and worked for the school district. I actually contributed to STRS at that point as a 16-year-old student. And I was able actually to acquire 2 additional years, which my intent was, you know, at the end of the 5 years, there was an opportunity for me to retire at that point, not knowing, you know, exactly what I would do. And we always talked about that. But, you know, this opportunity obviously is beneficial for me. But, you know, I think the district, because, you know, we've extended that contract for another 5 years, there's going to be some consistency in the leadership and some sustainability. And obviously, you know, that we were able to reduce salaries and benefits for me because of my ability to collect a retirement. So it ends up as a savings for the district. And so I think, you know, I think it's a win-win. I understand people's, you know, concerns over that and that, you know, there's, but, you know, I'm not sure that people really fully understand how the state teacher retirement system works. You know, I looked in my benefit of what I've contributed, you know, close to $1 million over my career as a teacher, coach, and administrator to the retirement system. And so, you know, it's almost like everybody else has a 401k and you have access to that at a certain age. Doesn't necessarily mean you're going to stop working, but then you just, you know, because you've contributed, you have access to it. So I don't know if that clears up anything, but I'm excited about continuing the work here in Marion City Schools. I think our strategic plan is one that will result in higher student achievement and will also be a benefit to the community because, you know, we're so focused on making sure that kids graduate with the skills necessary to enter the workforce, and we're trying to match that up with a lot of in-demand jobs that are here in Marion. So I think that, you know, those things that we have in place are a benefit to both the school district, the students, and the community. So I'm very pleased that I'm going to be able to do that at least for another 5 years.
Dr. Russi, I know you have a meeting coming up here. Very quick question. When does school start? I know it's coming up right around the corner. And on that day, just personally, because of what we know what the CDC is saying, we know what the numbers are in Marion County right now, we know what's going to happen when schools open at this point, how apprehensive will you be on that day? I know it's a fun day, school starts, but there's got to be some apprehension.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I can tell you this, a lot less apprehensive than I was on the first day of school last year. So we're really looking forward to having our kids back full time. You know, the concern I have, obviously we're concerned every day on making sure our kids are safe and our staff is safe. So, you know, obviously there's that apprehension, but I'll tell you, our staff here and the district as a whole are very excited to have our kids back in, hopefully, you know, a year that we can get back to some sense of normalcy after what we faced last year.
And what's the start date?
Oh, yeah. So August 16th is what we call transition day in Marion City. So our preschool, kindergarten, sixth grade, and ninth grade, those students that are making transitions from one building to the next come on the 16th, and then all students return on the 17th.
Perfect. Dr. Ron Arusi, I thank you so much for coming on this morning. It's always a pleasure talking with you, and I want to have you back real soon because, first of all, I think this is going to be a changing issue, but I also want to talk about how last year impacted the kids' learning. That's a big
one. Right. I'd love to do that. I would. You just give me a holler, and we'll schedule something.
Thank you, Dr. Arusi.
All right. Thanks, Scott. Take care, bud.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Dr. Ron Arusi, superintendent of the Marion City Schools. So hopefully you got all you need to know as we head into schools, because there's information coming from all angles right now. I mean, we have what the CDC is saying as of yesterday, that they're recommending masks in schools. The local health department saying what they're saying. The government is saying what they're saying. So we'll see what happens. Now we know what the school is saying, and I think that's very, very important. We're going to go to break here. We've got a guest coming up next hour. Of course, Glenn Coble will be on today, 10 a.m. till 12 p.m. Progressive Life will be on 12 to 1. And then, of course, we have Offbeat News and Trivia with Nate Redmond, 4 to 5. and then Trinity Baptist Church Sunday Sermon from 6 to 7 here on the station. You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, streaming live on the net at WWGH1071.com, your education and information place here in Marion. We're going to take a quick 15-minute break and be back very, very shortly. Don't go anywhere.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, LP, Marion, Ohio. The Talking Place. For people like legendary comedian Shecky Green telling the funniest talk show story of all time about guest starring on Fantasy Island.
I was late.
Yes.
And as I always am for everything I do. And anyway...